open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Didn't you love the race car sound a while ago? Did you hear it? McCoy come running around turn number 4, headed down the front stretch, going home for the checkered flag a while ago. And I know my mind all of a sudden had a flashback to my mama looking at me going, "I'll backhand you, boy." But isn't it good to see children having a good time at the Lord's house? It's better than having no children, amen? I know what a lot of people do. A lot of people sit there and say, "But I tell you what, that kid don't know how to act in church." Usually it's those kind of people who run the kids right out the back door. Oh, me. So Genesis chapter number 1, if you're physically able to stand out of respect to the reading of God's word, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. And you know what? I just realized I didn't think I put my scripture verse in there, Miss Natalie, but thank you for picking that up for us. Genesis 1, 27. Notice what the Bible, or go to verse 26, if we could, back up to verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our image, our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Let me back up and point out. Notice it said, "Let us make man in our image." Then it said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. Let's make sure we understand something. When it says he created him, the word him there being the generic term referring to just mankind. That's a simple way of putting it. Then he clarifies very clearly. He says, male and female, he created them. You may be seated, and may the Holy Spirit bless the reading of God's word. You may want to keep your Bible open this morning. We'll look over in chapter 2 in just a moment. I'm going to deviate for a few weeks from preaching through a book of the Bible, and I want us to look at this subject, recovering biblical manhood and womanhood. Recovering biblical manhood and womanhood. Now, because Mother's Day is first, we'll actually deal with the womanhood part and then move to the manhood part. Would you listen to me just for a second? Listen to these words of introduction. What we are studying affects every facet of human life. It affects not only mankind's physical well-being, but emotional and spiritual well-being. The attack on biblical manhood and womanhood has been well orchestrated. Satan began this attack in the Garden of Eden, and it has continued until this day and will continue, no doubt, until Satan is cast into hell. This attack has been long and hard fought for many years. The attackers have made considerable progress in certain areas of the world and among certain people groups. This crisis has led to many shattered relationships, broken homes, suicide, murder, hatred, reprobation, and eternal damnation. The root of this crisis is not about mankind and how we treat each other, but about how mankind views God and his design. Today, we find ourselves in a world where people are busy trying to fix the world's problems without consulting with the one who created the world. The end result of that is a foolish approach to life of not considering the one who created us, and will lead us to more frustration and destruction. Several years ago, Rochelle and I determined that we would buy our kids a basketball goal for Christmas. We thought that we hid that goal. we now know we didn't do a good job of hiding it. In fact, our kids laugh every Christmas because they remind us of how they knew the basketball goal was in there from the day it got placed there. In fact, our kids snuck around and enjoyed laughing behind our back. But nonetheless, the closer we got to Christmas, the more we realized it would be difficult to hide that basketball goal. I thought to myself, how in the world am I going to put it together in the dark so that when they wake up on Christmas morning, they'll find this basketball goal put together? Finally, we just threw up the hands and the white flag of surrender and determined that we would tell the kids, and of course, they laughed whenever they told us they already knew they had it. And I began to go into the basement and put that basketball goal together. I'd played basketball. In fact, I could have played college basketball for a couple of different universities. I just enjoyed the sport. And because I played high school basketball and could have played college basketball, what do you think I did when it came to putting that basketball goal together? I did the man thing and started putting it together without reading the instructions. I began to put bolts here and nuts there and tighten here and tighten there. And, you know, you can imagine what it was like, and you probably could tell the rest of the story. When it came time to mount that basketball backboard and rim to the pole and the base, guess what happened? I had to go back and read the instructions. I had to go back and undo what I had already put together. It was not a pretty sight at all. I was embarrassed and frustrated. Well, the truth of the matter is, I did not design that basketball goal. As much as I knew about how to play the sport, I had coached it. I at that time was even coaching Josh in a rec league team. I thought I knew a lot about basketball, but I did not know how to put that goal together the right way. So I disassembled what I'd put together, went back and started at square one. And the one part that I did not realize I needed to do was I needed to make the holes that they had drilled a little bit larger, so to say, by the way that I put the bolts in there. That's a silly illustration, but it really is an illustration of how mankind likes to operate in our world right now. We like to operate in our world without consulting the one who designed us, the one who created us, the one who spoke the world into existence, and the one who knows all things about how we as human beings, as men and women, are to live while here on this earth. Because we have not read the instructions, because we don't often turn to the one who created us, divorce is rampant. Abortion is available, and I praise God that it's being restricted more and more around our country, but it is still available. Human trafficking is widespread. Sexually transmitted disease is spreading rampantly right now in America amongst the 19 to 24-year-old range of those who are not married. Homosexuality is promoted as normal and acceptable behavior. And in our world today, some boys want to be girls and some girls want to be boys. We've got a problem. We've got a major crisis. And before we rise up with arrogance in our own hearts and minds and start shaking our sinful, corrupt finger in the face of those who are outside of the church, it's also affected inside the church. We've distorted the picture of how life is really supposed to be, how men are supposed to be men and women are supposed to be women. It's real simple, but we've distorted the image. Right now in our country, we have this terminology of toxic manhood that is going around. Not necessarily in the church, but outside the church. We're being told that if you are a man's man, that you are harming little boys and harming little girls simply by your image. I will say this, based on the Word of God, there is such a thing as worshiping the creation more than the Creator. There is such a thing as a man thinking that his muscles make him the man. That is wrong. That is a false understanding of manhood. There is such a thing in this world of women thinking that their beauty is what makes them a woman and what makes them valuable. I'm telling you right now, we have a major crisis because we've not looked to our Creator to understand who we are and how He designed us to be. I ask you this question this morning. Do you really understand what it means to be a godly man? Do you really understand and embrace what it means to be a godly woman? Would you just bear with me for a few moments as we work our way through the Word of God this morning? And I want us to get a foundation of what God has to say about men and women so that we can make sure that our lives line up with what we are supposed to be if we are a Christian. If we are a Christian and a male, we're to be a godly man. If we are a lady, if you are a lady, you are, and you say you're a Christian, you're to be a godly lady. And there should be no shame in being a man and no shame in being a lady, that's for sure. Look with me in the Bible this morning. I want you to see with me, first of all, the way that God designed us. Number one, men and women are equal in their design. Men and women are equal in their design. Now, what is their design? Go back with me in verse 26 of chapter 1. God said, who is God? The Greek or the Hebrew word there is Elohim. It is the word that is singular and plural at the same time. It is a description of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Plurality. In other words, God expresses Himself as the Father. He expresses Himself as the Son. He expresses Himself as the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet they are one. You can't separate them, but you can. In other words, God the Father has a role, but yet you cannot take God the Father and Him be God without God the Son. God the Son has a role. It was Jesus who hung on the cross. It was Jesus who was buried in the grave and rose on the third day. But Jesus is not Jesus without God the Father. And then you've got God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as the old King James referred to Him. The Spirit of God. He is the one who brooded over creation as Jesus spoke it into existence. He is the one who brought about the virgin birth of Jesus. He is the one who brings about our consciousness of sin and the world and unrighteousness. And the Holy Spirit is distinct in and of Himself, but He is not the Holy Spirit without the Son and without the Father. They are that unified, yet they are distinct in their roles for each other. And they said, God said, let us make man in our own image. God designed human beings based on the Trinity. The design of God is that we are to be the image bearer of God. We are a three-person being. We are a mind. We could say we are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. Just like there is God the Father, who would in some ways represent the heart of man or the soul of man, there is God the Son, who would represent the body of man somewhat, and then there is God the Holy Spirit, who would represent the spirit of man somewhat. We are a tripart being, and make no mistake about it. Whether you are a man or a woman, you were designed by God. You are not a mistake. You may say, well, preacher, I know some people that they have some issues with their physical anatomy and things like that. Yes, there are things that happen in God's nature that we don't understand. And I would just sort of chase a little bit of a rabbit and say that many times those things are beyond our comprehension. But nonetheless, we do know this, that God designed a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And we are designed just like Him. And we are equal in our design. We are a three-part being, and we are to be the image bearer of God. Notice in the text, if you would, look back with me in verse number 27 of chapter 1. So God created man in His own image, the image of God. He created him. Then notice this distinction. Male and female, He created them. In the world that we live in right now, there is an agenda backed by Satan himself to take away the distinction of a man and a woman. God designed a man and a woman. And for us to do anything else is to ignore the design of God. I know the students over at Bob Jones, I think they've been going through a lot of chapel services about this recently, and I'm not trying to re-preach anything they may have heard, but I'm trying to help us as a church to make sure that we are dead on the money and that the attack of Satan and society and the system that we live in here in this world does not poison the minds of those that come to Calvary First Baptist Church. Make no mistake about it, God gives a distinction here that there are to be men and there are to be women. There's no such thing as an it in between. There's no such thing as I'm a man, but I'm going to be a woman. No, if you're a man, you're to be a man. And if you're a woman, you're to be a woman. And nowadays, what do we have? We have this mentality that it is not emotionally healthy if we have someone who wants to be the other gender. Let me tell you something, my friend. There are all types of issues around that, and we don't have a great deal of time to go into depth with some of those things. We should never make fun and ridicule someone who is struggling with gender identity. Did you hear this, preacher? We never need to ridicule and make fun of someone who is struggling with gender identity. But we need not compromise, we must not compromise on the fact that God gave a distinction between a man and a woman. And we need not forget that in God's eyes and God's design, the man and the woman are equal in the design of God. You see, our world right now is confused in many ways. The world around us, even in the church world, is becoming more and more confused on these issues. But God is not confused. He's very clear in what He says in His Word. And we need to be faithful to the design of God. And we need to be compassionate with those who struggle with these issues. But make no mistake about it, men and women are equal in their design. Now, here's a problem that many of you will probably connect with a little bit better than our current problem of confusion. There is a problem that was around for many years, and it was unfortunately in many churches in the Greenville area, and that is a male dominance of women. In other words, women many times were treated as second-class citizens, as doormats, as someone to not be valued and to not be treasured. And I wish it were not true, but I observed it as I was growing up in many circles. I don't run in those circles. I don't promote those circles. I avoid those circles. But years ago, I saw men that did not treat their wives or did not treat ladies in general with respect. And they were so-called preachers and so-called Christians. Make no mistake about it. Ladies, your design is just as equal as my design. God designed us to bear his image. Notice in the text, I find it very interesting, there is a declared difference in mankind and animals. And it goes right along with this mentality that we're plagued with in our world. If you go back and you read the description of God's creation prior to verses 26 and 27, you will find that God simply says that he created the fish of the sea, the animals, the, you know, the fowl of the air. He never says in these verses before that he created a male bird and a female bird, a male fish and a female fish. And I'm not saying that that's not true, because that is true. But God declared the difference when he came to Adam and Eve and their creation. God said through his word, male and female, he created them. What is God doing? God is making a bold declaration. We are not as other animals. You know, basically evolution would teach that you just are an extension of some prehistoric animal or animal from a million years ago. Not so. God said we're different. We're not like them. And even in his record that he gave us here in the book of Genesis, he makes a declaration that we are different. We're not like animals. Some people may act like an animal. Some people may act like a monkey. Some people may wander around like a baboon and make a fool of themselves. But God made mankind different. And in mankind, he made male and female. So we've seen already, men and women are equal in their design. Notice the second thing, if you would. Men and women are equal in their dignity. They are equal in their dignity. Go with me to chapter number 2, verse number 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. What happens in the book of Genesis is God will make a statement, and then he will go back and explain that statement. We already see in chapter 1 that he said, let us make man our own image. Well, whenever you get over into chapter 2, you are going to see God and his creative power. Not only has he created the man, but he's also going to create the woman. And in verse 18 it said, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. And all the men ought to say amen right there. That was a weak amen. Ladies, you better get busy here. Punch him in the side. Do something. You single girls, throw a songbook at him. They used to sing at the college that Rochelle and I met at, if you don't go home with a preacher, then you don't go home at all. I believe that's how they used to say it, because it was a preacher's school, and that's what the girls would sing. But anyway, they had something about meeting in a registration line. It was a pretty neat song. Anyway, here, notice what God says. It's not good for a man that he should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see that he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. God makes it very clear in this passage of Scripture that men and women are equal in their dignity. Now again, I go back to the problem of this world. If you go outside the church world right now, there is the imagery that a woman is basically to be eye candy for a man. Well, even nowadays for other women, but it's the idea in the world that women are to be something to look at and gawk over and to use when it is convenient. And even the same is true with men in the world that we live in. It's the idea that somehow mankind is just a tool to get what you want, a pleasure to help you fulfill. That's not what God says. God says in his word that men and women had a place and a purpose. I remind you that God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a place, and they had purpose. And notice, when Adam was there alone, just him, naming the animals, God looked down and said, it's not good that he be alone. Now, there's some speculation on that. There's always speculation when you study the Bible and try to figure out things that are not clearly written. I read one man where he said maybe it was Adam looked and he saw a male, you know, donkey and a female, or saw a horse and a mule and a male and a female, and then the end result, then he saw, a male, whatever, as far as the animals and a female, and maybe it confused him and maybe it caused him to be lonely. I don't know. But I do know this, God said to him being here, was not a good thing, him being alone. And notice what he does. He creates a helper. Let me make it real clear. The word helper right here is not a word as in the only thing that a woman can do is just be a helper, as in go wait tables, clean houses, and do menial tasks. If that was it, then God was referred to as a helper in a demeaning way. Because this same Hebrew word is used in other places for God himself. No, the idea of this word helper here and the word comparable is this. It means that when God created Eve, he created someone that was of the same type but opposite. In other words, here's man and all his ability, and man was incomplete. And so he needed another person in his life who would be of the same type, of the same kind, that would come along and complement or complete him. And so men and women today, in the eyes of God, and should be in the eyes of all believers, men and women are equal in their dignity. The men are not up here and the women down here, or vice versa. God has designed for us to all understand that we have value. We are to respect each other's value. We are to realize that we are created with certain abilities and certain inabilities. And if you're a man, you need to understand, whether you are married or not, you need the influence and the help of a woman. Now, I'm not saying you've got to get married. God has given some people the gift to remain single. But nonetheless, the single man and the single woman cannot function in and of themselves. There are things that God has designed for a man to be able to do that a woman cannot do, and vice versa. And in order to successfully move through life, you need both. Now, obviously, in the Bible here, it's a principle that is taught that marriage is a good thing and that God designed for most people to be married. It's a design of God for a man to be attracted to a woman. Why? He's incomplete without a woman. And the vice versa is true. A woman is incomplete without a man. God designed it that way. They are to complement each other, and they are to complete each other. Now, often the woman is referred to as the completer of man, and that's accurate. And that's what we see in this story. But the truth of the matter is, it really is more than just the woman completing the man. The man also helps the woman. It's God's design for men and women to be attracted to each other, to marry, to have children, and to have dominion on this earth. So men and women are equal in their dignity. The old joke is that Cain and Abel one day were walking along beside the Garden of Eden and unable to go in. And they looked at their dad Adam and said, "Dad, why can't we go over there into the garden?" And Adam looked at him and said, "Boys, your mama ate us out of house and home." Now that's a joke. We laugh about it. But the truth of the matter is, it works both ways. It works both ways, and the way that we live and function as a man and live and function as a woman has an impact on the other gender, no matter what. We need to be people that love God, believe His Word, and will stay faithful and focused on His Word. And listen to me, we need to teach our children the truth and our grandchildren the truth. And these children that we bring in from the community and on Thursday night Bible club, we've got to weave biblical truth into their life, because the world around us has lost manhood and lost womanhood as God has designed it, and we must teach it. A lot of what you see happening in the world around us is because man is complete without woman, and woman needs man. You take a mother, she works real hard. She does all she can do to raise her children. But there will always be something lacking if there's not a male presence. You take a man who does all he can do, works hard to raise his children, rear his children right. There'll be something lacking if there's not a godly woman presence. Godly man, godly woman, equal in dignity. Let me give you this last thought. Men and women are equal in their duty. Men and women are equal in their duty. Now, what do you say, preacher? What are you talking about? According to the Word of God, we read it just a moment ago there in chapter number 1. God put man, created man, Adam and Eve, male and female, put them in the garden, and what did He say? He said, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. In other words, everyone has a duty. What is our duty? To operate in light of what God wants. To operate in the way that God wants you to operate. If you're a man, be a man. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what is right. If you're a lady, be a lady. Do what you're supposed to do. Operate in light of the way that God made you to be. Don't try to be something else that you're not. Be how God made you to be. Let me give you this. The duty of men and women is not only to operate in light of who God made us to be, but to be obedient. When God said to Adam and Eve, you be fruitful and multiply, and you have dominion, you take care, you tend, they were to obey. Why is it that people die and go to hell today? Why is it that there's heartbreak and sin today? Why is it that divorce and sex trafficking and homosexuality and drunkenness and all types of sin and degradation, why is it there? It's because Adam and Eve came to a point where they didn't obey. You see, we're equal in our design, we're equal in our dignity, and we are equal in our duty. Eve had a command not to eat, and Adam had a command not to eat. You say, well, preacher, are we going to talk about Eve eating and Adam eating? Not today. Just understand, they had a duty to obey God, both of them. Could it be that there is some man hiding behind the spirituality of their wife this morning? Or some wife hiding behind the spirituality of their husband? It doesn't matter which way you're hiding. If you're shirking your responsibility to do your duty as a Christian man and a Christian woman, and you're shirking that responsibility, you need to deal with that with God. We're equal in our duty. Our responsibility to obey. You see, sir, you see, ma'am, it's both your responsibility to live a godly life. It's both your responsibility to teach your children and your grandchildren what's right and what's wrong. It's both your responsibility to be faithful in church. It's both your responsibility to serve in the local church. It's both your responsibility to be a faithful witness. It's both your responsibility to honor God. God says, we're equal in these areas. Let's not hide behind an unspiritual husband or an unspiritual wife. Let's be obedient to God. That's only a foundation, but I believe it's enough of a foundation for us to say this. When the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," he was talking about men and women. When the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death," that's death for men and women. When the Bible tells us that God commended his love toward us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, that means he commended his love toward us, men and women, in that while we were yet sinners, men and women, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 10, when it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's both men and women. When the Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," that's both men and women. You see, this morning, every one of us are held accountable for God's design. Every one of us are held accountable for obedience to God. Truth of the matter is, we'll never have the kind of success spiritually that we need until we first know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, until we believe on Him and trust Him. Can I tell you something, friend? If you sit constantly frustrated, it's not my fault. It's not your daddy and mama's fault. It's not your wife's fault or your husband's fault. It's not the president's fault. It's not the Southern Baptist Convention's fault. If you sit spiritually frustrated today, it's your fault. Because God designed you to be a spiritual person. You got a duty to be that person and to respond in obedience. I have a question. Have you obeyed? Are you obeying? Are you being the godly man God has called you to be, sir? Are you being the godly woman God has called you to be, ma'am? You have a duty to obey.